Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night edition of the show, 25th of May already. Good evening, Diane.
Good evening, Craig. And look at it this way. There's, what, 7 months till Christmas?
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, and the stores, we've got maybe another month and a half, before we start seeing Christmas decorations.
That, to me, it just boggles my mind. I don't understand it. I don't like it. It's crazy. It's so over-commercialized. There's nothing special about Christmas, it seems, anymore. Nothing.
No, but I love decorating for it.
Well, then I guess you'll be starting decorating in a month and a half.
No, I actually start the day after Thanksgiving. That's always been my thing.
That's good. I've gotten to the point where, now my wife, she decorates. Okay. She enjoys that kind of thing. I used to help last year. Nothing. I did nothing.
Ah, okay.
By the time Thanksgiving rolled around, I was already so sick of Christmas. I couldn't even bring myself to touch an ornament.
Well, day after Thanksgiving, when everybody's at this, the big Black Friday sales, I'm there starting the decorating, and everything comes down on January 1st. While the spousal unit is glued to the TV with the football, I'm starting to take everything down.
Well, now they do have a new name for that particular shopping day. It's now Black Friday Shopping Matters Day.
Ah, or I was thinking it's, you have to change and get the word black out of there altogether. It would be deemed racist.
Oh, Black Friday's Matter Day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is now. Speaking of which, and I know you and I talked earlier this afternoon, I said, I don't even want to give this guy the time of day.
Yeah, let's not.
Well, but I've decided in a weird way I almost have to. Okay? Because today marks one full year of sobriety for George Floyd. And I think he needs congratulations for that.
Oh, okay. Okay. I mean, I cannot, since you brought it up, I cannot believe how the media has turned a career criminal, a felon, a hardcore drug addict, a man in the process of committing a crime when he was caught, how they've made this man a saint. And now his family is whining over his loss as they're, so happy with their $27 million.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. It's nuts,
It is.
But this weekend's a big weekend. Sunday is the Indy 500, and I'm a huge Indy 500 fan. So
yeah, Indy's cool. I like car racing.
I love the Indy 500, have since I was a kid, so I'll be glued to that.
Well, isn't this Memorial Day weekend?
Yes, it is.
I
love Indy cars. I love the speed of Indy cars. I have since I was a kid. It's a very particular kind of racing, open wheel racing on the big oval. It's a big deal. Always has been to me. Diane's more, I think, the NASCAR type. Specifically, this Sunday, she's going to be watching Cadillacs.
Oh, please don't remind me. I guess you got to explain that or people won't know what we're talking about.
Well, it'll be a year ago this Sunday that Diane and I were anxiously awaiting the launch of American astronauts aboard an American-made spaceship launched from American soil. And at the last minute, Diane said, you know, I'm just going to go out for a quick bike ride. I swear I'll be home in time for the launch, because we were going to watch it together on Skype. And it's getting closer and closer. You know, it's like a half an hour, and I haven't heard from Diane. I'm trying to call her, and she's not answering the damn phone. I'm like, what the hell? And finally, with like 5 minutes to launch, I'm like, she answers, and I'm like, where the hell are you? She'd been hit by a Cadillac.
On my bicycle and in my own neighborhood. And I've spent the past year broken feet, wrist, hand, bruises all over, and physical therapy almost 3 days a week. This whole time, it's been a nightmare, but not many people can say they survived getting hit by a Cadillac.
Yeah, Diane got in a fight with a Cadillac, and the Cadillac won.
Well, maybe in the end, not so much.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, so it's a big one-year anniversary for Diane. It's the Indy 500 for me. George Floyd has been sober for an entire year. I mean, yeah, there's a lot going on right now, including this show, Right Side Patriots. A little bit later in the show, I'm giving folks my take on the situation over in Israel. Let the Lion of Israel roar. Diane, in slightly less than a half an hour, you're going to be talking about being critical of critical race theory.
Yeah, I've just about had it with this nonsense.
I think
seriously,
pretty much anybody with a working brain cell is rowing the same boat as you are. When it comes
but
to
we're
that.
Outnumbered by, you know, the left, and they're pushing it down our throats and down our kids' throats. And the kids have impressionable minds. So if this is not nipped in the bud, the next generation, the generation now, you know, going to school is going to be so messed up.
Absolutely. No argument for me. But let's start with quick hitters tonight. And this is another big thing for my partner, Diane. Diane can now sue Facebook. This is huge.
Basically, what happened is our wonderful Governor Ron DeSantis, he signed SB 7072, and it's to protect Floridian political candidates, media outlets, and individual users from deplatforming, and he signed it into law. In other words, if we have been silenced by the like of Facebook, so our political candidates are not allowed to advertise, let's say, on Facebook because they're conservative or they're Republican, we can now sue them.
That's
huge.
And
the state of Florida will back us up.
That's a big deal.
Yes. In fact, the Attorney General of Florida can bring action against technology companies that violate this law, and it's done under the Florida Unfair and Deceptive Trade Practices Act. In fact, if social media platforms are found to have violated antitrust law, they will be restricted from contacting with any public entity.
Now, as I understand it, obviously, Florida is leading the way with this. Mm-hmm. But as I understand it, there are other states, other red states, that are looking very seriously at the way Florida went about this and the way they wrote their bill. Several other states are now in the process of looking at this piece of Florida legislation and seeing how they can adapt it to their states.
Yeah, well, you know, Florida led the way with getting rid of the mask nonsense and keeping the state open, and Texas jumped on board, and some other states have as well, South Dakota, Kristi Noem. Governor DeSantis is a real leader. And I would love to see a Trump-DeSantis ticket in 2024 or a DeSantis-Noem ticket in 2024. Losing him in Florida would hurt, but I think the country needs a man like him.
Need a leader. Got to have a leader. I mean, that's, yeah, that's what leader, it comes down
to. Right now we have, oh God, don't even start me with what we have right now. I refuse to call him president.
Right. I understand. I don't do it either. Mm-hmm. You know, it just kind of is what it is. You know, Trump-DeSantis ticket, DeSantis-Noem ticket, either way, that would be good. And, you know, I think somebody that deserves something at a national level is Greg Abbott in Texas.
Yes. He's right behind DeSantis in this. The two are kind of closely linked together with how they're running their states. But this all started when DeSantis said, when you deplatform the president of the United States, but you let the Ayatollah Khomeini talk about killing Jews, that's wrong.
That is wrong. And it occurred to me this afternoon, because I was thinking about those three governors, and, you know, from Florida, Texas, and South Dakota, and it occurred to me that if you draw a line from, Florida to Texas, Texas to South Dakota, and back to Florida, what you've got there is the conservative triangle.
Exactly.
You know, and
a lot of conservative states are in the middle of it.
That's right. And that could be a place where liberals just simply disappear.
I wish they would disappear from a lot of places.
Yeah, it's kind of the political equivalent of the Bermuda Triangle.
Yes, the conservative triangle.
Yeah. Biden's DOJ is about to appeal a court order to release the Trump obstruction memo. Apparently, the Biden administration, Diane, they don't want this thing out there.
No, absolutely they don't want it. Because this had to do with the legal memorandum that actually cleared Trump of Russian collusion.
Yeah.
And they don't want it out there. Because they spent 4 years trying to discredit and take down this president because of this. And here it was, they knew all along that there was no case there.
Not only did they spend 4 years in that attempt, they also spent well over $100 million in that attempt. Yeah. That's taxpayer money.
Yeah, and there's still a bunch of them still trying to hurt President Trump.
Well, that'll never stop. As long as they feel Trump is a threat, he's going to be a threat as long as he can fog a mirror. Because whether or not he runs in 2024, personally, I think he will.
I do too.
But whether or not he does, he is going to be a major player in conservative politics for a long time to come. So as long as he's got that kind of clout in politics, specifically on the conservative side, the liberal Marxists are going to continue to try and tear him down.
Right. And what, you know, people have to understand, the attorney general here is Merrick Garland, who sort of has an axe to grind. Because remember, he was blocked from the Supreme Court. He was an Obama pick that was blocked from the Supreme Court by the Republicans. So Garland is not going to be on our side by any means.
Never. Never, ever will that idiot be on our side. So this is going to be interesting how this unfolds, because federal court has told the Justice Department, you must release that memo. Now, Biden's got the DOJ. I shouldn't say Biden has his DOJ doing this. Obama has Biden's DOJ doing this. That's far more accurate. But they're going to appeal the court ruling and try and do everything they can to suppress this memo from ever seeing the light of day in public.
Right. I mean, all Biden is a placeholder. And I think even he knows it. But the funniest thing is in July, Biden's going to be meeting in Geneva with Putin. Putin's going to make mincemeat of him.
Oh, man. Oh, you know, I'd almost buy pay-per-view tickets for that.
I know. I wish I could be a fly on the wall on that one.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Putin's going to have him tied nuts.
Having, you know, some heart palpitations there.
That's going to be staggering.
Yes. Putin. You know what? The American media can try to, you know, say to Putin, now you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. Like Putin's going to listen to them.
Never. Never. Putin's got his own mind. He'll do what he's going to do, and it ain't going to be pretty for Joe.
No, it isn't. It should be interesting.
Now, speaking of puppets, one of Diane's all-time favorite people, Dr. Fauci, now says he's not convinced that COVID-19 developed naturally in a lab, and apparently now the mainstream media says, you know, this could have been a human-engineered virus that was intentionally released. Diane, if only you or I had thought of that a year ago.
Well, let's put it this way. I did a whole series on COVID about, I'm looking at the whole series now. It's about 20 articles on COVID. The very first article I wrote on it was called Vaccine No, Antidote Yes. I pegged it right from the beginning. COVID is a naturally occurring virus, folks. However, what they did, and I stated it in this article, was they manipulated a naturally occurring virus into what I believe was a bioweapon. That's why I have kept this whole year pushing for an antidote, not a vaccine, but an antidote. There's a big difference, and it looks like I've been right all along.
Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of people have been right all along. Fauci isn't one of them, but a lot of people have been right all along, and for being right all along, a lot of people have been flagged, have been thrown in Facebook jail, have been kicked off of Twitter, you know, knocked off of Instagram. I mean, the list goes on and on. In fact, when we were advertising today's show, this very show for Right Side Patriots, Diane and I, on show day in the morning, we put up a little, you know, just a little blurbage. Today said Right Side Patriots, Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey discuss being critical of critical race theory. Let the Lion of Israel roar in important news of the day. And in there was a little bit of COVID. Okay.
Yes.
Got flagged on Facebook. Didn't get deleted. But it got one of those little warning labels, you know, to know more about COVID, go to this and this.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem here, you see. People have been telling the truth about COVID all along. And every time we do, we get in social media trouble for doing it. And the mainstream media, by the way, has been calling us crazy right-wing conspiracy theorists. Because every time we say, well, COVID was, you know, genetically altered in a lab in Wuhan, China. Oh, those crazy right-wing conspiracy theorists, they're dangerous. But now even the mainstream media is saying, you know what, this could well have been manipulated in a lab in Wuhan.
Right. In fact, back in April of 2020, I wrote an article, it was short, called Fauci Exposed, and I had all of this that's coming out now, back then. It's like the layman is given no credit.
Well, and look, I can understand there have been some wild theories out there. You know, that, you know, this started with Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster, okay? But, you know, when you do it, you don't have to do a whole lot of deep, dark, super double-top secret investigating to figure this stuff out. We know where it started, Wuhan, China. We've known that since day one.
Right.
Okay, it's not too hard to see that there's a biological lab in Wuhan, China.
Well, Obama gave money for it. But what's even funnier now is a Chinese official has denied his country's association with the virus, citing a WHO report that said China, it's unlikely that the virus leaked out from China. Come on, folks. 2 months ago, WHO even said it definitely came from China. Everybody is flip-flopping now to cover the things they've said. And the truth has been out there all along. They took a naturally occurring virus, fooled around with it, and turned it into a bioweapon of sorts.
The problem
is, that's why you need a bioweapon that you need an antidote for, not a vaccine.
The problem is they can't remember what lies they've told. They have told so many lies for the last year. They've changed their story literally every week to 10 days for a year. They can't remember what they lied about 3 weeks ago, much less lied about yesterday. So now, like Diane said, they're backtracking. They're trying to cover it up. They're trying to... Mm-hmm. You know, put themselves out in front like, oh, look what we discovered. No, you're just catching up to the truth that a lot of other people caught up to a year ago.
Exactly. We've done shows on it, folks. We've talked about COVID till we're blue in the face. And
which, by the way, the bandwagon,
vaccines aren't going to stop this. Herd immunity is. Herd immunity is now kicking in all over the country.
In a big way. Okay.
Because the virus has burnt itself out. Or the virus or the weapon or whatever you want to call it at this point, it's naturally burnt itself out. People who are getting it now are not as sick as the ones in the very beginning. And plus, they tried to hide ivermectin. A drug that knocks it out within days? That's been on the market for decades, by the way. It's an antiparasitic. I did an article on that about a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And they hid it from the public. Heads should roll for this.
Part of the problem now is we got all these people taking all these vaccines. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what that's going to lead to down the road.
Because there are NA-based instead of DNA-based. And no matter what you hear on the news media, none of them have been FDA-approved, full approval.
You know, I mean, you know, and people say, well, you know, I've done the research. No, no, you haven't. You are the research.
Exactly. You are the guinea pigs. You know, I'm part of the No Jab for Me movement, and I'm proud to say I said that from day one. Most vaccines, folks, take years to get to market, some decades to get to market. They go through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of testing on hundreds of thousands of people. You are going to trust an RNA, which hasn't been done, an RNA-based vaccine that was only tested on 40,000 people, only half of which were Americans, only tested for a few months.
But that's not enough.
Not my body.
That's not enough.
Mm-mm.
I say again. Finally, in the quick hitters, apparently the United States has run out of any kind of metal that's being used to make electric cars because Biden is now looking to foreign countries as a source for what we could very well be producing and very easily be producing right here in our own country.
Exactly. And the bad thing is it's going to put people out of work here. Never mind the material. We're not going to be mining for the material, but it's also going to be putting more Americans out of the out of work, and Chinese are going to get more jobs out of this.
You know, we could be mining the material here. If we did, we could then be manufacturing the product here. Okay, and I don't care, you know, what kind of metals we're looking for. There's very few metals that are used in electric cars that you cannot get out of the ground here.
Exactly.
And so you've literally killed off a whole nother industry.
Well, you've completely, you know, put another nail in the coffin of oil, because, you know, everybody heralds electric cars, but most people don't want electric cars. Okay, we don't have the service stations to take care of them. We don't have the charging stations to take care of them. They don't ride like a regular car. And some people just like their car. I love my big, giant V8 engine powered car. I don't care what the gas costs. If I'm willing to pay it, don't tell me what I could drive or can't drive. And that's what they're trying to do with this.
That's
they want
the American,
all gas-powered cars off the roads.
That's the American way. You drive what you damn well please.
Exactly.
It's not that hard to figure out, folks. It's a pretty simple concept when you get right down to it. You know, you got a car, you like your car, you keep your car, you drive your car.
Right?
But when you're putting an entire industry, or maybe two or maybe three industries, out to pasture, and farming what could be done right here in our country, made in America, you know, you remember that great slogan, three words, made in America? And you take that and you farm it out overseas, you farm it out to foreign countries. Well, you're certainly helping their economy, but you're killing ours.
Well, the worst thing they did is Biden did, was throw this over China. What the hell is that man doing anything with China after this? I don't even call it a pandemic anymore. I call it a scamdemic. I mean, after everything this country has been through because of China, he's going to give them contracts?
Well, yes, Diane, of course he is. And you
Isn't
know
that
why.
Called aiding and abetting the enemy?
And you know why, as well as I know why.
Yeah, because he's got some kind of hand in it.
He owes China.
Yes,
okay, he owes them.
Time.
Wuhan got him elected.
Yep. If it wasn't for that, President Trump would be in office by a landslide, which is what happened, but it was stolen from him.
Exactly. Folks, we got a big show coming up for you tonight. Couple of great segments. Yeah, roughly 30 minutes from now, Let the Lion of Israel Roar. That's what I'm going to be talking about, but we're going to take a short break here, get that bottom of the hour station ID stuff taken care of. And when we come back, Diane's got Being Critical of Critical Race Theory. Everything you ever wanted to know that will make you absolutely sick of critical race theory, you're about to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so listen up, folks. More Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're
are listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor, getting you through Tuesday night edition of the show. We've got big stuff coming up for you this Friday. We'll tell you about that after a bit. But for right now, it's all the rage, critical race theory. You're hearing it everywhere. Tennessee just passed a law today to ban it in Tennessee. Liberals are outraged when you talk about banning it. Conservatives are outraged when you talk about implementing it. Diane, what exactly is it?
Okay, well, let's start with something quite the antithesis of it. And it's the words, come on, people, now, smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now. No, those are the old kumbaya words from the 1960s Young Blood song, Let's Get Together. It's quite apropos for this. Okay, lately we've been bombarded with the words critical race theory. These three words have taken over the political discourse, the media, and have made dangerous inroads into all levels of our school system, both public and private schools, as well as colleges and universities. Now teaching young impressionable minds that the actual science behind what constitutes race is not biologically natural, CRT claims actual science behind what constitutes race is not biologically natural. Instead, they claim that race is a culturally invented, socially constructed entity derived solely to exploit and oppress people of color, especially those scientifically classified as Negroid, folks more commonly referred to as black people, especially black people, and that it does so while serving the interests of white groups and institutions who deliberately perpetrate the negative stereotypes regarding people of color, especially if it means both their needs and wants are met. And those who adhere to this nonsense, you can Google CRT's history and its partisan political beginnings, also believe that both U.S. law and mainstream legal institutions, most especially our appellate judicial system, are inherently racist with their sole reason for being, but to create and maintain social, economic, and political inequalities between white and black Americans, with so-called brown, yellow, and red Americans thrown in for good or bad measure, depending, of course, upon one's personal point of view and or prejudices. And some take what is but a twisted and diluted form of the Marxist-oriented what's called critical theory, which was a theory where judicial decisions are mainly influenced by non-legal factors, as in political factors, instead of by set legal precedent and reasoning, and take it even one step further by claiming that being racist in America is a normal way of being amongst white people and not the exception, but that it is also a quite common and ordinary experience shared by most people of color, especially by black people. But the truth is that, like most liberals speak, critical race theory is but a pandering political dialogue manufactured primarily to make excuses for what is perceived by liberal sorts to be gaps in income, wealth, education, employment, and social status between white and black America. as well as to take blame off those who not only make bad personal choices, but who refuse to take any responsibility for their own actions. Instead, CRT chooses to place blame on the whole of what they call white social structures, with its adherents claiming it's overt across-the-board discrimination by white folks against people of color, no matter a given individual's actions, words, or deeds to the contrary. But nothing could be further from the truth, for I believe what critical race theory really is trying to do is propagate the idea that racism in America is not just an in-your-face, obvious-for-the-TV-cameras occurrence, but that is, it is stealthily, quote, indirect, subtle, and systemic, and that the fault lies solely within the population of white America. But, Craig, I also believe that the endgame of CRT is not now, nor has it ever been, to actually end racism, but to keep the momentum of hate going by manipulating black folks into becoming a faction driven by veiled suppression that the powers that be can forever control.
You know, the liberals, and as I call them, the liberal Marxists, they're never short on tools, and they're never short on victims. And where they can't find a tool and they can't find a victim, they're never short on the desire to manufacture either or both of them. So isn't CRT or critical race theory just yet another tool to use to manipulate and quote-unquote, use your air quotes, victimize people?
Well, sure it is, and it's used in an effort to help divide our country even more than she already is. Critical race theory actually downplays the need for black Americans to understand that racism, whether it's self-perceived or it's real, remains the stuff that fuels much-needed political fodder. And like everything else the Democrats do, CRT actually aids in the ideological enslavement of black people and does so as a means by which to garner their votes. In fact, everything the Democrats do is about votes, for votes equals power and power equals control, neither of which the Democrats intend to surrender. Remember, it's power and control above all else that is the Democrats' God, if you will. And what the Democrats want is for the talk down to masses to not only believe but to accept as fact that racism will only go away via the enacting of so-called colorblind laws, policies, and practices, the very crux of critical race theory. And when that's coupled with the concept of white guilt, only then, they believe, can all races receive what's called equitable treatment under the law, along with the overcoming of individual racial biases. And Democrats want us to believe that racial healing must begin with the securing of reparations, the supposed first baby steps towards equitable treatment. And it's a supposed key objective of critical race theorists. And while equitable treatment should mean that all folks, no matter their skin color, receive equal opportunities to reach a specific objective or goal, the fact is that under CRT, certain what's called considerations must be in place to equalize the playing field for people of color. And this basically means that no matter the fancy words being pushed forward, equitable treatment is not now, nor will it ever be, equal treatment under the law. Not when policies are enacted that allow specific considerations for one group of people over another group of people. Simply what CRT is affirmative action on steroids. And also know that no law enacted, nor policy or theory dictated, can stop an individual from hating if that is what one is so inclined to do. In fact, mandating laws or teaching theories with no tangible substance or truth actually allows for racism to gain momentum, courtesy of folks who, while never racist before, have now, after witnessing certain minority folks' actions, words, and demands, become so. and the securing of reparations is but one example, for why should black folks who were never slaves be given monies from white folks who were never slave owners? And Craig, besides, reparations itself is racist in nature, as it singles out a specific group of people, black people, for consideration, basically negating the concept of equal treatment for all. And isn't equality what it's really all about, or is it?
Well, it should be what it's all about. I mean, isn't that the goal? I mean, all men are created equal. I mean, it's in our founding documents, you know. So, yeah, I'd say that's the goal. But when you look at critical race theory, the way the liberal Marxists are using this is as a weapon, and it's a weapon of mass distraction.
Yeah. It's critical race theory has no idea about equality, because those who adhere to critical race theory want but even more of a free ride for certain minority folks, while at the same time brainwashing America's impressionable youth into believing that skin color alone is what dictates the haves and have-nots, and that while skin color, white skin color, I should say, is something to be ashamed of. And this is but one of the means by which CRT pits people of color, black people, against white people, all in an effort to dictate the current and they hope future political discourse, along with big government overseeing the how, when, and whys of exactly what will be done to right what they alone perceive to be America's past wrongs. But what the CRT crowd ignores is the fact that both America's rights and America's wrongs helped to forge the freedoms we have today. Take away those freedoms, and America as we know her no longer exists. And it's these very freedoms that separates us from other countries, freedoms that are ingrained in us throughout our formative school years. Thus, it's here in America's schools where critical race theory is the most dangerous. And why? Because in brainwashing our youth into believing politically generated fiction instead of well-documented historical facts, generations of independent thinkers are lost. And it starts with CRT's premise that racism is indeed an integral part of everyone's everyday life. And you have to read white folks here, and that even people who claim not to be racists can still make bad choices, Craig, that they believe help to fuel racism on.
Well, so when you start boiling this down, okay, where do we start looking for the bottom line here? And what really is the bottom line? Is it the amount of pigment in somebody's skin? Is it people that are just looking for an excuse not to even try? I mean, what is this all aimed at? Because critical race theory is something that's being used, as you said, to provide for brainwashing and all sorts of other things. But boil it down for us. What is the ultimate type of weapon this is for liberals?
Well, basically, it's nonsense. Because except for a certain segment within the minority of America's black minority population, the color of one's skin does not dictate how one lives their lives, nor does it become the excuse given for failures in life. Simply, skin color is not the first thing the vast majority of Americans, black Americans surely included, think of upon awakening, nor is it the last thing thought of before drifting off to sleep. Yet the color of one's skin alone is the driving force behind the mindset of those who adhere to critical race theory thinking. And now, sadly, due to political skullduggery, it's also become the mindset of those who want to brainwash our children into believing white skin is bad and black skin is good. White skin is something to be ashamed of, while black skin is something to be proud of. In other words, critical race theory itself is not only racist in its very concept, but it actually helps to promote racism by making implied racism a part of each and everyone's everyday life. And while some states have embraced this nonsense and passed legislation allowing this, what amounts to indoctrination, to be taught in both public and private schools, other states, predominantly red states, have banned critical race theory on the basis that it not only tries to promote the idea that white people have had an advantage at birth, but that it plants what they call the seeds of self-hatred in America's children while pushing forward the left's ideology that white people are born as racist oppressors and that black people are born as victims. In fact, I'll go even one step further and say that critical race theory not only pushes forward a politically driven, divisive, and mentally harmful agenda, a hateful agenda, especially harmful to impressionable youth, but that CRT helps to breed a new generation of racists in its teaching of white privilege, teachings which actually separates people based upon race, the very antithesis of the long fought for idea of inclusion. But most important of all, critical race theory tries to rewrite America's history by the foretelling of a future that they alone will determine, and do so by only focusing on the bad while ignoring all of America's history's good. And by ignoring basic human nature and societal norms, CRT willingly draws attention to the negative in order to make said negative become the absolute truth, forgetting that there are always two sides to every story. One person's truth can be another person's lie, yet the fact is that history alone remains static. It cannot be changed, for what was, was. Learn from history's mistakes, but don't try to erase the past, for to do so negates who we are today and who we might become in the future. Simply, black is black, white is white, mix them together, and you get all shades of gray. Not such a bad thing, now is it?
You know, a lot of people think critical race theory is new. It's not. It's been around for decades. It's just that the liberal Marxists, until now, have not really been able to find a way to wield it as a weapon. Okay,
right.
But
in
now,
fact, it started with liberal black professors in liberal institutions, liberal universities.
But now, with the social climate as it is, you know, with Obama reigniting the race war, I guess, for lack of a better term, and everything that liberals have done over the past 10 years, you know, where anybody they disagree with on anything, okay, you might call a potato a tuber, which it is. Mm-hmm. It's a root vegetable. You might call it a tuber. Other people call it a potato. If the liberals call it a tuber and conservatives call it a potato, the conservatives are racist. I mean, it's racism, racist, racist, racist has become the battle cry for every liberal who's losing an argument.
Right, and this has been pushed forward by Obama. His infamous sentence, "If I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon Martin." In other words, his son would be a thug with a record. That's what he has indoctrinated into American society. That you could be that, but you should be admired because of that. The George Floyds of this world came about because of statements like that.
Exactly. And now you've got this being crammed down people's throats in public schools from kindergarten up, including what I call asylums of higher indoctrination, your universities and colleges. And right. What you're doing, and you mentioned it here at the end of the op-ed, you talk about the rewriting of history, and that's what you're doing. You're trying to manipulate history into something that you can use as a weapon in the future. It doesn't change anything. Were there racist people at the very beginning of America? Yes. Were there non-racist people? Of course. Okay? Nothing has changed. They're still racist today and non-racist, but society has changed. Okay?
Well,
you can't hang on people that have never had a racist bone in the body. The notion that they are now racist simply because they're white. It's crazy.
You forget one very important thing. Some of the biggest racists of all are black people against white people.
Well, I don't forget that.
Not the other way around.
Yeah, I don't forget that. I'm fully cognizant of that.
I meant the Queen's English, not you personally.
I am slightly more cognizant than Joe Biden. I know what shoes are.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But, you know, the thing of it is, you can't have liberal Marxists, they can't push their agenda without victims. And the fact of the matter was, they were running out of victims. They were simply running out of victims. And that's part of why they hated Trump so bad, was because it didn't matter what color a person's skin was. Everybody in this country was doing so much better under Trump. Victimization was becoming less and less and less of a reality. Well, right. Liberal Marxists can't have that. So now all of a sudden they're pushing critical race theory so that everybody's a victim.
The only victims here are the people that are foolish enough to believe this nonsense.
Well, they're victims of their own stupidity.
Exactly. They're sheeple. They're sheeple. They will believe whatever you tell them because they don't know how to think for themselves. Critical race theory came about by people who stop people from thinking for themselves. They probably were the original sheep herders, if you will, gathering up the sheeple.
Well, yeah, that's a pretty good analogy, really. But I mean, you know, look at it this way. Folks, if you drop an anvil on your foot, whose fault is it? It's not the anvil.
If you kill someone with a gun, it's not the gun's fault either, is it?
No, of course it's not. I mean, see, that's the thing. In this day and age, in this country, if you're a victim, it's because you have found a way to make it easier to be a victim of something like racism than if you're not a victim, okay? I mean, you know, when you're a victim, especially a victim of something pretend, okay, it's always easier to demand something in return for being a victim. Well, I'm a victim, so you owe me.
Right. Yeah. Right. But you're not a victim. Reparations is the perfect example. No one alive today was a slave. You did not experience slavery. No one alive today owned slaves. We just weren't around. And what they forget, and we have said this time and again, every people of every color, of every religion, at one time or another, have been slaves of some other group, whatever. Everybody's background, slavery, somewhere in it. But everybody else has moved on.
Except maybe for the Canadians, because nobody wanted them.
I mean, Every other group has moved on. You know, there was Irish slaves in this country who were treated just like the black slaves. Do you hear them whining and complaining?
They
moved on.
What about Scottish people who at one point in world history were the slaves of the Irish?
Okay.
You know, I mean,
it's happened all throughout history.
Yeah.
Everyone who has moved on. And instead, they blame white people. Not one of them has come out and blamed their own black African tribal leaders for selling them into slavery.
Well, Diane, that would kind of erase the whole victimhood angle, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Maybe that's the thing that really needs to be put out there. You're barking up the wrong tree, people. It's not us. Your own people sold you into slavery. That is documented fact, and you can try to twist it and try to erase it, but it's truth.
But why would history be better than revisionist history? Diane, you got to start thinking like a liberal.
Mm-hmm.
Revisionist history always takes precedence over what really happened.
That's the whole thing.
It's the whole problem, yeah. Right there, isn't it?
Yes.
Folks,
exactly.
This is...
That is the problem.
This is a great op-ed, okay? And you can find it two places. Being critical of critical race theory. You can go to Diane's blog at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. It's right there. Go to the op-ed section. That's the easiest thing. Or you could go to rsp1radio.com or rspradio1.com. I got that all backwards.
Mm-hmm.
rspradio1, and it's the number 1.com. And it's right there on the homepage. You can get the link from there, too. But what you want to do is share this, because I guarantee you, if this hasn't come up in your state at the state level, and maybe even at your local level, your local school board level, it's going to.
Yes.
So get yourself educated now.
DeSantis isn't allowing it here in Florida. Another good thing by our wonderful governor. More states are joining that. Of course, the blue states all think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, you know. They're creating a generation of racists. That's what this is really doing, and that's the saddest thing.
It is, because we were so close to being completely done with that before Obama.
Yes. Yes, but no, Obama came in and brought it all up again, and here we are. But I also want you to know, I know there's a lot of truth in what I want, because Facebook so limited my reach on this article.
Well, you're talking about one of their pet projects, critical race theory, and you say right
exactly.
In the title that you're going to be critical of it. Well,
exactly.
Facebook doesn't want that. They only want people that will embrace critical race theory.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, hug my you-know-what ass.
That's right. Your white one.
That's it. That's it. Folks, grab Diane's article, get that link, read it, learn from it, and share it. ThePatriotFactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. Either way, you can get the link and then just share it everywhere. Drive Facebook crazy. Drive Twitter crazy. You know, just light up Gmail with it, whatever you got to do, but get the word out there, because I guarantee you this is going to become, if it's not already, it's going to become an issue in your hometown school district.
Yes, it will.
It just will. No doubt about it. All right, time for a top of the hour break. Get that station ID thing taken care of. And when we come back, my take on what's going on over in Israel. And yeah, I'm going on a bit of a rant here, but this whole topic pisses me off. Okay? So stay with us, folks. Let the Lion of Israel roar, coming up in just a couple of minutes. More on Right Side Patriots.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right,
and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. And if you miss any part of the show tonight, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and we'll have tonight's show up there for you tomorrow. Now, I said we were going to mention what we've got coming up on Friday, and Diane, it's huge, and it's going to be intensely interesting.
Yes, it is, because we are talking UFOs, folks.
Big report supposed to come out from the Pentagon in June, and it's all dealing with UFOs and what the government knows. Well, Diane and I are going to tell you what to expect in that report, what not to expect in that report. Right. We're going to talk about some of the things that you and I have both seen personally, and we're going to talk about some of the things that have been released by the U.S. government over the past few months that are raising eyebrows everywhere.
Yes. And Florida Senator Marco Rubio is one of the vocal proponents of getting this information out to the public.
It's going to be very interesting come next month, and we'll tell you more about it this Friday, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on Right Side Patriots.
Yes.
All right, with that, I want to get into the situation over in Israel, because, yeah, I know they're in a ceasefire. I call it a lull in the action. But, folks, if you don't think this is going to start up again, I think you are sadly mistaken. Hamas, from inside of Gaza, had been firing rockets into Israel nonstop for 2 weeks, and for the better part of those 2 weeks, Israel had been both intercepting the vast majority of those rockets and pounding Hamas installations inside Gaza in return. So let me be very clear on a couple of key points here. Israel did not start this. Hamas did. And Hamas is being supplied and funded by Iran. Now, those are just the facts, and no amount of panty-wadding propaganda by liberals and the international community can change that. Facts are facts, and propaganda is pure crap. Israel has every right to defend itself against such overt attacks by terrorist organizations and the rogue regimes that prop them up financially. In my mind, part of that defense includes going on the offensive to put an end to the rabid swine that is Hamas. If opening a can of Israeli whoop-ass on Iran is necessary to put a definitive end to such attacks as Hamas has been waging against the Jewish state of Israel, then so be it. I'd be happy to lend them my can opener. Watch almost any news outlet you care to watch, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, even Al Jazeera. Honestly, it's hard to tell any of them apart. And you will be treated to nonstop barrages of anti-Israeli tripe. Frankly, I'm sick of it. You can't even get away from it by going over to the BBC or Reuters. I'm also damn tired of hearing or reading about the plight of the poor, oppressed Palestinians. I will admit that I don't know how the garden variety so-called Palestinians view this whole thing, but I will tell you that over the years I have never seen, nor have I heard of the average so-called Palestinian calling on the Palestinian Authority or Hamas to knock it the hell off, get out of their neighborhoods, out of their lives, and quit using them as human shields. Yes, I understand the nature of such regimes is to terrorize the very people they claim to represent, but holy crap, don't these people have a spine? Go ahead, liberals, call me a racist, but before you do, just know that Palestinian is not a race. For that matter, there is no such real thing as a Palestinian to begin with, and there is not now, nor has there ever been, a country of Palestine. Diane, what we're talking about here are Jordanians. Jordanians who were rebranded by Yasser Arafat in the 1960s to be used as tools by which to try and usurp land from the great nation of Israel. And when that failed to work the way they wanted it to, Arafat's quote-unquote Palestinian Authority simply started using those Jordanians as fodder.
Yes. Now, you mentioned that the Palestinians, you know, have a homeland. It's called Jordan. Well, isn't there a certain individual that is preventing them from going back to their home?
Yes. It's a little weasel who likes to call himself the king of Jordan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's also an absentee king. He's a despicable little tyrant. They could go home if it wasn't for him. The nutless wonder on Jordan's throne during the few days of the year he's actually in his own country is no more interested in peace than is Erdogan in Turkey, nor the mullahs in Iran. Not only that, but the king of Jordan is also a coward. He remains outside of his own country most of the time because he's scared of being overthrown by his own people. He should be, in the plan of Mudar Zakran, the secretary general of the Jordanian opposition coalition, for a democratically elected and secular government that recognizes Israel's right to exist, should be implemented in Jordan as soon as possible. You want to cool off tensions in the Middle East? You want to bring about stability in the region? Well, that's a damn good place to start. And here's something else that just pisses me off. International calls for a ceasefire. Seriously. You never hear any of that directed at Hamas. That global BS is always directed at Israel, and you will notice that it never starts until Hamas starts getting their asses kicked, which is usually about 5 minutes after Hamas launches its first barrage of missiles into Israel. In my opinion, Israel should not have ceased firing until there was nothing left to fire at, but oh, the humanitarian crisis. Innocent civilians are getting killed. That's the kind of crap you hear from elected liberals and from the vast majority of the world press. So what? Hamas is using them as human shields. They're putting their rocket launchers in civilian neighborhoods right there next to schools and hospitals. And that, by the way, is by design. You see, by doing that, they can then piss and moan when those buildings get destroyed and their human shields get killed. What do you want Israel to do? You want them to call ahead and say there's a bombing heading their way and warn them that specific buildings are about to be reduced to smoking piles of rubble? Well, guess what? That is exactly what Israel does. So, if there are innocent civilians there when the bombs start falling, whose fault is that? Really? I mean, for Christ's sake and for the sake of Moses, from my Jewish friends, it's a freaking war, and people die in wars. If the so-called Palestinians don't want to live in or die in a war zone, they need to leave. And wonder of wonders, they hold Jordanian passports and Jordanian citizenship. Go home! Problem solved. The conflict is more accurately the ongoing terrorist attacks by Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran against Israel is not confined to that particular region, nor is it solely being perpetrated by those in that region. There are those in our country who are actually rooting for, backing, and promoting those terrorists and their activities. Diane, for instance, you could take the BLM. Last week, the BLM issued a statement that read, quote, "Black Lives Matter stands in solidarity with Palestinians. We are a movement committed to ending settler colonialism in all forms and will continue to advocate for Palestinian liberation, always have and always will be. Hashtag Free Palestine," end quote.
Well, isn't there something that they all sort of have in common? A uniting factor they have in common?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, you read that quote from the BLM, and it's completely expected from a domestic terrorist organization like the BLM. You see, they're the same terrorists who in our country burn businesses to the ground, go on looting rampages, assault innocent people in the streets, and advocate for the murder of police officers. It stands to reason the BLM would be in solidarity with their so-called Palestinian brothers and sisters. You know, terrorists of a feather sticking together. Mm-hmm. It's also expected that we would hear the blatherings of elected liberal Marxists and their ilk in the mainstream media as their hatred for Israel and the Jewish people in Israel has been transparent for decades. Liberals in this country are mostly Marxist, and most are decidedly siding with the terrorists, with Hamas, with Hezbollah, and Iran. These are people who claim anyone whose politics with which they do not agree are Nazis. And yet, for reasons only they understand, they continue to vote for the people who prop up the most Nazi-esque regimes on the world stage. It's hypocrisy at its glaring best. All right. So allow me to vent for just a bit regarding liberal Jews in our country. What in the hell is wrong with them? They need to open their eyes. They need to grow some balls. They need to quit voting for the anti-Semitic ilk of Ilhan Omar, Rashid Tlaib, AOC, Bernie Sanders, and Ayanna Pressley, and others. They, like the Iranian mullahs, Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Palestinian Authority, want Israel gone from the map. Jewish American support of such swine equates to supporting Iran, Hamas, and the Muslim terrorist organizations. Don't give me that standard liberal line of crap that all you want is peace in the Middle East. No, you do not. Or you would not keep voting for those who support Islamic terrorism. President Trump did more in 4 years to bring about security and stability in the Middle East than have all other presidents combined since the birth of Israel in 1948, and that's just another of those ever-so-pesky facts. Trump had one Arab nation after another signing onto peace deals with Israel before being robbed of the 2020 election. And that would have continued to a point in the Middle East where unity against the forces of terrorism would have been established had Trump been reelected. So let me ask you Israel haters out there some very basic questions. Have you ever used a thumb drive in your computer? Do you know of anyone suffering from Parkinson's disease that takes Azelect to ease their symptoms? Have any of you, or has someone you know, ever had endoscopic surgery? Do you have a drip irrigation system that you use to water your landscaping, or maybe use in a greenhouse to water plants that produce your food? You know, I'm barely scratching the surface. But none of those things, and none of the other important contributions to the arenas of mathematics, science, chemistry, physics, optics, medicine, economics, biotechnology, theoretical computer science, computer software, computer hardware, robotics, defense, agriculture, breeding, energy, consumer goods, appliances. Have you ever cooked a meal in one of those Wonder Pots? Food, drink, and so much more. None of that, none of it would be possible without Israel. Now then, I ask you, Diane, what have the so-called Palestinians contributed to the betterment of humanity? What has Hamas contributed?
Well, Hamas is easy. They've contributed terror, death, and destruction. As far as the Palestinians, in my opinion, they have contributed zero. They got their hands out. They want things for nothing because they think they are owed everything. Sounds sort of like the BLM sorts, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but in a little bit different way. And see, people keep thinking that what the Palestinians want is land, that they think this is about land.
No, it's not.
It's not. This is about a religion, Judaism, versus a political ideology called Islam.
Of course.
And Hamas, let's face it, is a boil on the buttocks of civilized people everywhere. Look, as long as I'm venting here, it came to light last weekend that Brooklyn Middle School principal, she has urged teachers and administrators at her school to demand government sanctions against Israel and that administrators and teachers actively support some of the world's most notorious terrorist organizations. This principal's name is Amanda Bueno. She emailed staffers at MS-136, and she told them, and I quote, "If you've been watching the news in absolute horror, you are not alone. You can take action today by protesting, attending a vigil, making a public comment to Palestinian liberation, or I should say a public commitment to Palestinian liberation, signing a petition, or calling your government officials to place sanctions on Israel. The time is now to take a stand for those impacted by state-sanctioned violence and crimes against the humanity of the most vulnerable in our world," unquote. That email, with a title on it, "A Day of Action in Solidarity with the Palestinian Uprising and General Strike," included links to anti-Israel and anti-Israeli propaganda websites. In places like Gaza, Iran, Lebanon, and others, children are taught from an early age to hate Israel and to hate the Jewish people. They are taught to be terrorists as they grow older, and that to die in the process of killing Jews is the most worthy goal to achieve. The Palestinian Authority actually pays the families of such so-called martyrs to the cause for their heroic actions and family members. This principal, so-called, this Amanda Bueno, fits right in. She's demanding that teachers and administrators at her school in New York City, some of whom are Jewish, indoctrinate their students, some of whom are Jewish, to hate Israel and hate the Jewish people. At best, it's a hate crime that's salary-sponsored by the state of New York. And perhaps more accurately, it's planting the seeds for acts of future terrorism in a new generation. Diane, I guarantee she is not alone. I guarantee that around this once great nation, there are more in similar positions to shape the indoctrination of young minds who, like her, are doing all they can to support the liberal Marxist agenda of hate.
And unfortunately, liberal Jews are voting for these type of people, and they might not even know what they're doing. They're so caught up in trying not to let the sins of, let's say, World War II happen again, that they're confusing the two. And they're acting out of, some of them, out of ignorance.
Well,
don't see the truth.
They can't see the forest for the trees. Right. I mean, let me fill some of those folks in. Okay? If you're Jewish, you live here in America, and you're a liberal, and you're voting for these people, let me tell you what you've done. What your votes have garnered you, you have for decades voted for the very people, the very party that is now turning a new generation against your faith, against your ideals, against your very right to exist. You don't really think this is nothing, do you? You don't really believe that those who are taught such hate will go to the Middle East to carry out what they're being programmed to do, do you? Why would they? When you live just down the block, why would they seek to terrorize your neighborhoods? Why wouldn't they seek to terrorize your place of worship? And for that matter, why wouldn't they seek to terrorize you? Seek the truth. You'll find it, but not in liberal Marxists you elected. You won't find it in liberal Marxists you allow to indoctrinate your children. You will never find it in the mainstream media. And you can't find it on social media, but seek it out. The truth is out there. If Hamas or Hezbollah starts up again, and I have every reason to believe that they will, then Israel should end it once and for all. There should never again be a call for Israel to cease fire. Let the Lion of Israel roar.
Yeah, it's time for Israel to end this once and for all. Under President Trump, they'd have a strong ally going in with them against Iran. With Biden, you know that's not going to happen. So let Israel go in alone and do what needs to be done. Clean out Hamas, retake Gaza. They should have never given it up to begin with.
Never.
Get rid of Abbas in the West Bank. Israel has every right to exist. Whether these mullahs and the Muslims and they're all the do-gooders here in this country think so. They have a right to defend themselves. They have a right to exist. And the sooner Israel does what needs to be done, we can get rid of this garbage.
Well, in my opinion, you tell me if you think I'm wrong, but in my opinion, Mahmoud Abbas isn't even running the situation in Gaza anymore. I don't think he's anything now but a singing, dancing sock puppet of Iran and Hamas. I think
he's just a figurehead.
Yeah, I think Hamas has gotten themselves so ingrained in Gaza now that, you know, Mahmoud Abbas is basically meaningless. Not that he ever meant a lot to begin with, but I mean, Iran, they're fueling that whole situation. Okay, they're funneling money into Gaza. They're funneling weapons to Hamas. But then there's Hezbollah, you know, down there in Lebanon. And they started firing rockets, you know, right before the ceasefire, too. Well, guess who's supplying them?
Well, what people don't understand is Hezbollah, after the ceasefire went into effect, they issued a statement thanking Iran for all the rockets that they got from them.
There you go.
Right then and there, that ceasefire should have been broken. And Israel should have just leveled the place. Okay, these children are taught to hate, like Craig said in his article, from birth, to hate Israel and to hate Jews. They are future terrorists in the making. That's all they are. I don't have sympathy for any of those Palestinians there. They do nothing to stop Hamas. They voted them in. They support them. They let their children be used as human shields.
Not only their children, but they themselves. Not only their children, but they themselves get used as human shields. and they don't have the spine, the backbone, the balls, whatever it takes to stand up and say, this ends now.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I mean,
they're not even a people. Yasser Arafat invented them in the 60s when he started the whole PLO nonsense. They're an invented people. They're Jordanians, Jordanian birth certificates, Jordanian passports. King Hussein, Abdullah's father, has said, and you can find this quote, there are no such thing as Palestinians. They are Jordanians. If he was alive, none of this would be happening. But his son, like you said, is a nutless wonder.
Well, and, you know, the king of Jordan, even Hussein, when he was the king, when he was still alive, they were actually put in place in Jordan by the Saudis.
Right.
Okay. So they're actually Saudi Arabian, okay, and they're running the show in Jordan. But, you know, you want to clear up all this mess in the Middle East? Adopt Mudar Zakaran's plan, get a secular government democratically elected into Jordan that recognizes Israel's right to exist, and suddenly all this nonsense evaporates.
Well, there's another way to get the nonsense to evaporate. If President Trump was in his rightful position as President of the United States, this wouldn't happen. The 4 years that President Trump was in office, Hamas, very sporadically with minor skirmishes, didn't attack Israel.
Not like they.
And now all hell is breaking loose again.
Yeah,
you want to know something? I never thought I'd say this, but I hope Putin makes mincemeat of Biden.
Well, I think he will. I think he will,
and I hope he will.
I'm sure.
Sounds terrible, but Biden has gotten us into so much trouble in these 5 months, 4 months, whatever, since he's been in office. He's destroying this country, and he wants to take Israel with us. And it's not going to happen.
No, it is not. Folks, you can grab Diane's article at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. Mine, you can get at thenationalpatriot.com. You can get them both at rspradio1.com. And we want you to grab both of these links, hers and mine. Share these everywhere you can, because this is some important material. Now, we've only got about a minute left, so let me once again plug this coming Friday show. You do not want to miss it, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Are We Alone? It's a special report from Right Side Patriots, and it deals with the upcoming Pentagon report on UFOs.
Right, and we wanted our report to come out before that.
And it will.
It will.
Folks, it's going to be a wild and interesting show. You're going to hear things that might rattle some people.
Not might, it will.
Okay. We're gonna have at it, and it's going to be fun, and it's going to be interesting. Don't miss it. Next Friday, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, rspradio1.com. Right here, Right Side Patriots. This Friday. This just a couple of days away.
Yes.
So be ready, folks. The truth is out there. With that, Diane, it's time for you and I to wrap up this show so we can get ready for Friday.
Okay. Nighty-night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a nice evening, and we'll see you Friday with a special report, Are We Alone?